أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، I begin this khutbah by praising the one who deserves all praise. I begin by praising your creator and my creator and the one who created everything that ever existed. I begin in the name of Allah, the one, the most beneficent, the most merciful. And I bear witness on this Friday the 27th of May that there is no deity whatsoever worthy of worship except Allah, and that indeed the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is his last and most noble messenger, and indeed an example for all of mankind. When I was thinking about doing the khutbah for this Friday, I was thinking of a topic that's going to be relevant to both the students and the community. And I realised that, you know, the students are in a transition at the moment. They'll be going from university back to home. And they'll be subjected to something they're not used to, which is living with their parents after a long time. And so I thought of doing a khutbah on our relationship with our parents. And this is something that's relevant to everybody, because we would not be here if it wasn't for our parents somewhere along the line. I don't think there's anyone here called Isa, right? So it's because of our parents we are here. Now, something you find is that many Muslims, they have love for one another. You know, they treat each other with respect, but they only have harsh words for their parents. They have no patience with their parents. You look at people and people often say, "Oh, this brother, he's so nice. You know, I had dinner with him. He bought me this, he bought me that." Whenever you see him, he gives you a smile. And we have so much love for this person. We always want to sit down with him. We want to share our feelings with him. We want to discuss things with him. And we think, yes, amazing, alhamdulillah. But our parents, who've been doing it for us since we were born, how do we treat them? Their love for us never dies. Our parents, their love for us never dies. From the moment we are born to the moment, inshallah, you know, beyond their death, their love for us never dies. Islam teaches us the role of our parents. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are told time and time again to obey our parents and be dutiful to our parents. One of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked him, he said, "I asked the Prophet, which deed is the dearest to Allah?" And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, he goes, "To offer your prayers at their 6 times." I then asked, "What is next in goodness?" And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "To be good and dutiful to your parents." And then I then asked, "What is the next deed that is most beloved to Allah and most in goodness?" And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "To participate in jihad, fighting in Allah's cause." So we look at the 3 things that we are told there. The first is to pray your salah on the 6 times. Now we know that the majority of scholars says anyone who leaves the prayer is out of the fold of Islam. So the difference between Islam and kufr is the prayer. And then, after this high status of prayer, it's not fasting, it's not staying up for qiyam, it's being dutiful to our parents. It's very important. If you understand the concept of prayer in Islam, and you know how highly elevated it is, then you'll understand how important it is to be dutiful to your parents. And then comes jihad. Many of us need to understand and think about how we treat our parents. You know, many of us go through this transition, especially when we're teenagers, where we think we know what's right. And we always wake up and we're harsh to our parents, and all they have for us is loving words, but we're still bitter, and we still shout at them. You know, we find it easy to roll off 10 harsh words to them, but for our friends, we have nothing but love and companionship. And I'm sure each and everyone here has examples of this. Maybe their mother comes to them and says, "Let's do this or do that," and we say, "No, forget it, please, leave me alone." But our friends will tell us to do the same thing, but we'll say, "Let's go, please, let's go, let's get out of here." Abdullah ibn Umar, he said, "The pleasure of the Lord lies in the pleasure of the parent, and the anger of the Lord lies in the anger of the parent." So this is quite simple. To please your parents is to please Allah. And to make your parents upset is to make Allah upset. And Allah Himself tells us in the Quran, in Surah 29, verse 8, Allah says, "We have instructed man to honor his parents." We have instructed man to honor his parents. But if we take put Islam to one side, and we look at it from just a balanced point of view, and if we think who's the most deserving of our goodwill and our kindness, you would say the person who's the most kind to you. This is quite logical. Whoever's kind to you, you should be kind back to them. Now if you look at it without Islam, we just look whose people are the most kindest to us. It's our parents. When we were young and we cried and we were upset, who did we go to? When we were awake at night crying, it was our mothers they said come and console us. When you're young, intrinsically, it doesn't matter who comes to you, you'll always run to your mother. And when you're in the arms of your father, you feel as if you're protected from the world. Think back, maybe a lot of us are old now, we're 18, 19, whatever, we're a lot older, and we forget these things. But when you're young and you're a child, you see many people in the playground, they have these stupid arguments, they say, my father's stronger than your father. My dad could beat up your dad. But this comes from the protection the father gives to the child. The children feel this because this is the natural love that Allah has put between the parents and the child. I'll give you an example from my own life. My nephew, he lives with me. He lives in our house. And I love him to bits, and I always play with him. Every day I spend with him over the entire summer. And my brother, he was away studying. And he wasn't at home a lot. And so my nephew never really got to spend a lot of time with him. But when my brother used to come through the door, who was his father, he would leave me and he'd run off and see him. Even though I spent day and night with him, even though I would take him out, it was just the love of the father and the child. This is a natural love. This is something Allah has given to us as a mercy. Our parents are a mercy to us. And we look at it. Allah tells us in the Quran, Allah tells us to obey and love and be dutiful to our parents. Allah doesn't mention the parents being dutiful and loving the children. Allah doesn't mention this. Why? Because it's natural. This is something Allah has put in their heart for us. It's natural. But Allah told us again and again because He knows how we think. And we look at our own examples. We say we love our parents. But look, when we're ill, our mothers and fathers, they come and they sit by our bedside. They'll bring whatever medicine we need. They'll worry about us. They stay up all night crying. And they make dua for us. But when our mother is ill, or our father is ill, how much do we go and sit with them? We might ask them once or twice, Mum, Dad, are you alright? You know, and then we get on with what we need to get on with. Do we say we can sit there the same amount of time that they sit there with us? Are we concerned for them the same way they're concerned for us? And Allah says again in the Quran, "And we have enjoined on man to be good to his parents. In hardship upon hardship did his mother bear him. And in years plain was his weaning. So show gratitude to me, Allah, and to your parents, and to me is your final abode." So Allah tells us the hardship our mothers go through. We can't comprehend it. Maybe some of the sisters might be able to, but we as men, we probably can't comprehend it. To carry someone for 9 months, the hardship that they go through. But Allah told us, upon hardship and upon hardship, they bore us, they carried us. Abu Darda said, "The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommended 9 things to me." These are 9 things that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommended to Abu Darda, who is a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said to me, "Do not associate anything with Allah, even if you are cut to pieces or burned. So do not commit shirk. Do not commit idolatry. Do not associate partners with Allah. It does not matter what the consequences, even if you are cut to pieces and burned." He said, "Do not abandon a prescribed prayer deliberately. So to miss, for example, Dhuhr or Asr or Maghrib, do not do this deliberately. Anyone who abandons the prayer will forfeit Allah's protection." So they will lose Allah's protection. "Do not drink wine for it's the key to every evil. Obey your parents. Obey your parents. If they command you to abandon your worldly possessions, then leave them for them. Obey your parents. Even if they command you to abandon your worldly possessions, then you leave them for them. It's quite simple. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ told us. And the rest of the points were, do not contend with those in power, do not run away from the army, spend on your wife out of your means, and do not raise your hand against your wife. So this is quite simple. This is sort of like a lesson for us in life. Imran ibn Hussein said, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the blessings and peace of Allah be upon him, said, what do you say about fornication, drinking, wine and sex? So let's think about these things. Fornication, drinking wine, and stealing. And Imran replied, Allah and His Messenger know best. And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ replied, they are acts of outrage, and there is punishment for them, but shall I tell you which is the greatest of the great wrong actions? So I remind you again, fornication, drinking wine, and stealing. And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, associating with Allah Almighty, so associating partners with Allah, and disobeying your parents. And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had been lying, and he got up and he said, and lying. So, see the category in which it comes. It comes in the category of associating partners with Allah, to commit shirk, to disobey your parents. And this is something we probably do all the time, because we don't realize. You know, we take it for granted, let's be honest. We take our parents' love for granted. You know, my father used to always say to me, he goes, you know, your friends are only there for a short period of time. He goes, but you know, he goes, only your parents will truly be there for you. And I think, no, oh, my friends, me and my friends, we're so tired. You know, no one can get between me and my friends. You know, a couple of years down the line and they're not talking to me. SubhanAllah. And I'm sure every single person has an experience of this. The friends that you were close friends with 5 years ago, 10 years ago, how close are you with them now? And truly, every time something used to happen, I used to go back to my father. Even if he was upset with me, even if he was angry with me, he used to still wish for me, and he used to still want the best for me, and he used to help me out. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, in Surah 17, verse 23 to 24, Allah says, your Lord has commanded that you worship none but Him, and that you be kind to your parents. If one of them, or both of them, reach old age, do not say to them a word of disrespect or scold them, but say a generous word to them, and act humbly to them in mercy, and say, my Lord, have mercy on them, since they cared for me when I was small. My Lord, have mercy for them, since they cared for me when I was small. Allah tells us this. Allah tells us in the Quran how we should be towards them, how we should make dua for them. Have mercy on them. Today is sickening. When you see people become old, they become an old people's home. The parents that brought us up, the ones who loved us and gave us respect, and clothed us and fed us, is this how we treat them? Is this what the Prophet Muhammad taught us? Is this what Allah commands us? Allah teaches us to love them and respect them and look after them, and do not even say a bad word like oof to them. I'm sure many of us have said much worse than this. And so we come to this, and many people come and they say, oh, but my parents are unfair to me. They're unjust to me. They put hardship on me. But again, the Prophet Muhammad SAW told us, he said, Ibn Abbas said that if any Muslim obeys regarding his parents, Allah will open two gates for him of the garden. And if there is only one parent, then only one gate is open. And if one of them is angry, then Allah will not be pleased with him until that parent is pleased. And then he was asked, even if they wrong him? And he replied, even if they wrong him. even if they wrong him. We're not here to judge our parents. We're not here to say whether they do is right or wrong. They can tell us to do something that which is unjust, which is unfair. But they are the gates of paradise for us. And we have to please them even if it means they're wrong. Even if it means they're wrong. As long as it doesn't contradict Islam. Even if it's unjust, let's say. We have to obey them and we have to strive to please them. And again, it says that even if we think we're doing something right, sometimes you see Muslims, they start practicing the deen and they go off on a tangent. And they want to save the world and they want to do everything they can to help the world, but they forget about their duties at home. You'll see it, you know, subhanAllah, many young brothers, they start practicing and every day they're at conferences and every week they're attending halaqas and every weekend they're on dawah school. They're always in the masjid and their parents never get to see their face. And again, we have an example of this when the Prophet Muhammad told us about a sahaba, Abdullah ibn Umar, when he came to him, he said, a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, I make a pledge to go and do hijrah. He wanted to move. He wanted to leave the land for Allah's sake. And he left his parents who were crying. He left his parents who were in tears. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what did he say to him? Even though he was doing hijrah for Allah's sake and his messenger, the Prophet Muhammad said, go back and make them laugh where you've made them cry. Go back and make them laugh and smile the way you've made them cry. So look at this. And I say this mainly to the younger brothers who are going to probably go through that zeal in life. We're going to start practicing the deen and they think they have to save the world. No. No, your duty is not to save the world. Allah has told us. Allah has given us a hierarchy of orders. And to obey our parents and to love them and show them respect is up there after prayer. So now we look at who is the most deserving of our love and our respect. A man came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, it goes, who is entitled the most to be treated with the best companionship by me? And the Prophet Muhammad said, your mother. And then the man asked again, who next? And he said, your mother. And then he asked again, and he said, your mother. And then he said again, and who next? The Prophet said, your mother. The man asked for the fourth time, and then the Prophet Muhammad replied, your father. He didn't say your best friend, he didn't say your next door neighbour, he didn't say your work colleague, he didn't say your wife, he didn't say your children. Think about this, everyone. He said, your mother. Your mother, your mother, your mother. Four times he said, your mother. And then he said, your father. Because Allah knows the relationship of the mother and the child. And Allah knows what hardship the mother went through for us. We have another example of Sa'id ibn Abi Burda. He said, I heard my father say that Ibn Umar saw a Yemeni man going around the Kaaba while carrying his mother on his back, saying, I am your humble camel. If her mount is frightened, I am not frightened. Then he asked Ibn Umar, he said, do you think that I have repaid her? So imagine this in the heat. It's not the summer here. We're talking about Saudi Arabia. We're talking about Makkah in the heat, the scorching heat, on the hot sand. And he's carrying his mother on his back, and he's doing tawaf. And he said, do you think I have repaid her? And the reply was, not even for one single contraction. Not even for one single contraction. So imagine this. Imagine us carrying our mothers and walking in the heat. Most people can't walk in the normal heat. But let's carry your mother and do tawaf. And this is not equivalent to even one contraction. But bear in mind that the reason that so much emphasis we place on the mother is because they are relatively weaker in society. And then we look at our fathers. And you know, this is something that I've noticed in this country, is that the mothers, you know, they look after the children from a young age. So naturally, the mother and child, they forge a relationship. They forge a bond, and there's a relationship between the mother and child. But the father who works all week long, he works many times from early in the morning till late at night, And he comes back and he feels tired and he has to sleep. He doesn't know. He doesn't get to know his children. The children naturally always go to the mother. Then come 40 years down the line or 25 years down the line, the children all grown up, and they don't know their fathers, and the fathers don't know the sons, the children. You know, and the children don't have any patience with their father. But the father was working all that time for us. The father was working all that time for us. Did we have no patience when we speak to them? This is not the way of the Prophet Muhammad SAW, what he taught us. Abu Huraira reported that the Prophet, may Allah's blessings and peace be upon him, said, "Disgrace, disgrace, disgrace." In another version, it says, "Curse, curse, curse." Now, these are not light words. When the Prophet Muhammad SAW says curse, we do not take it lightly. He said, they said, "Ya Rasulullah, who?" And he said, "The one who fails his parents when one of them, or when they are old, will enter the fire." He tells us when our parents become old, if we fail them, then know that hell has opened its doors to us. Again, let's look at our situation. Say there's a family of five or six or seven. The father, he puts food in their mouth, the five, the six or the seven. If those same children, when they grow up, they find it hardship for the five of them to feed one or two. Look at it. They argue about who's going to take care of the parents this weekend. I've seen this with my own eyes and I've heard it. They say, "Yeah, you look after her this week and we'll take our mum next week." When they should be fighting each other, when they should be arguing with each other, "No, our mum's going to stay with us. Our father's going to stay with us." When we are young, our parents, they make dua for our long life. But when they get old, you see the people, they make dua for their life to be shortened. So we know that Allah requires from us something, and that is to be dutiful to our parents. Regardless of what they ask us, as long as it's not haram, and regardless of whether they are Muslim or not. And even if we find it difficult, and we know that Allah will test us in different ways, then we have to remain patient and increase our prayers. Now, this doesn't mean whether your parents are Muslim or not Muslim, that you treat them any differently. Whether they are right or wrong. Allah has told us, and the Prophet Muhammad has told us how we need to treat them. So we'll give some examples now of those who came before us, inshaAllah. Those who came before us. Dibyan ibn Ali al-Thawri, he used to travel with his mother to Makkah. And there in the scorching heat, he would dig a little pool for her, and he would fill it with cool water. Then he would turn to his mother and say, "Ya Ummi, stay in this water and cool yourself." You know, now I don't think it's something we can do equivalent today. But even small things, like maybe you have to take your mother somewhere. You know, maybe carrying her stuff for her, opening the door, seeing her in the car. This is something that we can think of doing today. Huwayy ibn Shuraih, one of the imams of our ummah, he used to give classes in front of his home. In front of his house, he used to give classes. And during the class, his mother would call him to feed the chicken. During the class. He didn't say, "Wait, I'm teaching." He'd get up and leave straight away. Straight away, he'd leave the halaqah and he'd go and feed the chickens because he understood the importance of the parents. He understood this and he got up and he left straight away. And then for the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu, the third Khalifa, the price of dates became very expensive. And during that time, people saw him extracting juice from a date tree by incising the tree with a knife. And the people were quite surprised. They asked him, they go, "Ya Uthman, what are you doing?" Because it was so expensive. He replied that he was doing so to carry out the wish of his mother, who would ask him to bring the juice for her. And he said, How can I ignore the desire of my mother?" And again, we look at our life, and I see something like going to university and work and everything generally, I see the happiest people I see are the ones whose families are happy with them. When a child, or the offspring, their parents are upset with them, you can always see it. They're never at ease. They've always got some sort of problem. They don't like going to town. Even myself. When I never used to practice and I used to do things that weren't right, I'd always feel guilty. I couldn't see a look at my father in his eyes. I'd never feel at peace. But you see the children who have a good relationship with their parents, they're always happy. They don't have any issues. So what we need to incorporate into our lives, inshallah, is something known as birr al-walidain. And this is kindness to our parents. And the scholars have given a certain point about this. And the scholars have said, the child should place the pleasure of his parents above the pleasure of anyone else, including himself, his wife and his kids. Everyone. The pleasure of his parents. Two, he should obey them in everything they command or forbid, whether they agree with his desires or not, so long as they do not command the disobedience of Allah. Thirdly, he should present them with everything he feels they desire, whether they ask for it or not. He should present it with kindness and mercy, understanding no matter what, he does his shortcomings in fulfilling the true kindness that his parents deserve. So this means being proactive. You know, some people say, oh, I listen to my parents, I obey them, whatever they tell me. But we've been encouraged to be proactive. Go that one step further. Do what pleases them. maybe your mother likes a certain fruit or something. Get that for her once a week or something. Maybe your father likes something. Maybe he likes a specific type of tie or shirt. Buy it for him. You see, people often exchange gifts between each other. But you see, they have a lot of love for their wife and they can do it for their wife, but they hold on to their hands when it comes to their parents. Yeah, it was those same parents who put us in the position we are today. Many people, they go through special education, private education, they go to university, they get a degree, they get a good professional job, and they think, yeah, I'm something. Maybe their fathers or their mothers, because of their background, weren't able to go through that education. And they think because they've got a little certificate, they're better than their parents. Astaghfirullah, those parents are the ones who put you where you were. They're the ones who put you in the position that you're in. And now that you've achieved something, you think you're better than them? Alhamdulillah. Allah's love comes to us when our parents love us. And Allah's anger comes to us when our parents are angry with us. And Ibn Abbas said there are three things that will not be accepted if its mate is not fulfilled. And he mentioned thanking Allah and your parents. Okay, I'm going to round up, inshaAllah. And listen to this. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as if he knew the time we were living in. He said, a time will come when people will greet their friends warmly and approach their parents with a cold attitude. They will greet their friends warmly. Islamu alaykum. Big hug. Massive hug. Kisses on each cheek. You know, I don't know, maybe they give each other high fives or something as well. When it comes to their parents, you know, they sneak into the Islamic school and sit down. If that. Think of it. So now we have to look at ourselves. We have to analyze ourselves. As Muslims, we're always in a state of looking at ourselves and trying to improve ourselves. And we have to see how we can please our parents. So, this is not from Islam, but maybe something we can do, inshallah, is that when we make decisions, consult our parents. Make them a part of our life. You know, make them a part of our life. Speak to us. Our parents will never give us bad advice. Whatever we think, however much we think they don't know anything, those 40 or 50 years or maybe 30 years of experience is a hell of a lot more than we have. Speak to them. Ask them. Even if you know the answer, even if you know what you want to do, do to please your parents. Ask them, tell them what's going on in your life. Tell your parents you love them. It sounds so ajeeb to us, right? Telling our parents we love them. But we don't need Mother's Day or Father's Day. We don't need a day that they have told us. Every day we should show our love to our parents. If there is anyone deserving our love, it's our parents. And know that the way we treat them today, our children will treat us tomorrow. The way we treat our parents today, know that our children will treat us like that tomorrow. And also, I know there might be some people whose parents have passed away. There may be some people whose parents have passed away, and they know what they are missing. But our duty doesn't stop. Even if our parents have passed away, our duty doesn't stop to them. Kindness can be shown to our dead parents. In a hadith, it is narrated that while we were with the Apostle of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man of Banu Salamah came to him and said, "Ya Rasulullah, is there any kindness left that I can do to my parents after their death?" And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, he goes, "Yes, you can. Invoke blessings on them. Ask forgiveness for them and carry out their final instructions after their death. Join ties of relationship which are dependent on them and honour their friends." So don't think once your parents pass away, that's it. Finish. We still have our duty towards them. And we also know that Abu Hurairah reported that the Prophet of Allah said, when a person dies, all action is cut off for him, with the exception of three things. Sadaqah which continues, knowledge which benefits, or a righteous child who makes supplication for him. Now we all know our parents, maybe some of them didn't practice the way they should have. Maybe they didn't practice. You know, maybe they didn't pray. You know, we don't know what their position is. But we can help them by being righteous Muslims. We can help them by being good Muslims and fulfilling what we're supposed to Allah and to make dua for them. Know that is the means by which our sins are forgiven. When Allah commanded in the Quran and we enjoined on man to be dutiful and kind to his parents, the next verse after told us, they are from those whom we shall accept the best of their deeds and overlook their evil deeds. They shall be amongst the dwellers of paradise. God tells us what will happen, what will be the consequences of us being dutiful to our parents. And this is not something unnatural. If you look at it, this is not something unnatural. Allah is asking us. All He's asking us to do is be kind to the ones who showed kindness to us. He's not saying, go halfway across the world and meet someone there and be kind to them. He's saying, show kindness to the ones who show kindness to us. How simple could it be? So I say this to everyone here as a final piece of advice. That when you go home, inshallah, over the summer for the students, be patient with your parents. Show them love, show them kindness. You don't know when Allah has written for them to be taken away. And you don't know when Allah has written for you to be taken away. So don't die with regret. Show them kindness. Sit down with them, smile at them. Allah won't ask you whether you travelled halfway across the world to meet Sheikh so and so, and whether you sat with him and you were nice to him. But Allah will ask you how you treat your parents. Whether you held your tongue to your mother, whether you bowed your head and you were obedient, whether you respected your father. Paradise isn't easy, but Allah has made a way for us. And this journey starts from our own houses. This journey starts from our own houses. So know that we have a route to paradise back at home. And this is to be patient and to obey and to love our parents. We pray inshallah, may God, for those of us whose parents have passed away, that we become righteous children and we can become good and become a source of pleasure for them on the day of judgment. We pray that those of us whose parents are alive, we can obey them and we can keep them happy as the way they treated us in love when we were young. And we pray that tomorrow our children, when we have children, they show us the love and respect that inshallah we deserve and we will be a source of pride for us on the day of judgment.
Record it, so alhamdulillah, we have it now.
Okay, here we go.
We have the batteries?